Test 1, 2. Thank you. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I appreciate it. This is like... Oh, no. She's gonna tape it down. Yeah, long way's fine. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Hallelujah. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. It's getting feedback up here. Maybe the monitor's too close. The monitor's too close to me. Maybe we could... Can you pull that monitor back, Diane? Just pull it back away from me. Okay, wait a sec. Let's just see if I'm moving the monitors. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. I think that helped. Okay, test 1, 2. Thank you, Diane. That's still getting a little bit. A little ringy dingy. Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. That's my headset. Test 1, 2. Now I'm going to go to the other mic. Test 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Test 2, 3. That seems pretty good. I'm in the monitor. Yeah, it seems pretty fine. Yeah. So, is it live streaming, just not recording to the...
Yes.
Also live stream.
We are live streaming?
No. I said to turn it off, but if it's working and it's not recording, might as well live stream it. It just isn't recording. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Might as well just live stream it if you can live stream. Shabbat shalom.
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 Oh, great.
Is this Murphy Shabbat? Is this Mrs. Murphy Shabbat?
Because it doesn't go up there.
We're having an Irish Shabbat today.
Thank you.
Murphy Shabbat. Tickle my toes till Tuesday.
He's tickling my fancy right now.
Tickle my toes till Tuesday. Right, Mr. Cody?
Right, yes.
Okay. So we're going to live stream.
Hallelujah.
Shabbat shalom, folks. We are live streaming here. We had a big power lightning storm last night. And we've had some serious technical difficulties today, so we ask your grace. we thought we couldn't do it, but what we found out is we can live stream, we just can't record it. So we're going to work out those technical difficulties next week, but at least you can watch, and maybe somebody can put a headset on and hear it. Isaac, if you guys can listen to it on a headset. Or Josh, you can go live stream out in the outside and listen to it and see if the volume's okay. Thank you. And praise the Lord. And we're going to have a great service today. God has a good one for us. Hallelujah. Are you ready to worship the Lord? Are you all ready to worship the Lord?
Hallelujah.
All right.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. That's good, Chan. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You didn't come to worship me, did you?
Nope.
Did you come to worship the golden calf? Did you come to worship the beautiful lampstand on the table?
No.
Did you come to worship the gods of silver and gold?
No.
Who did you come to worship?
Yeshua.
Yeshua. That's right. Amen. And what day is today?
Shabbat.
Today's Shabbat. Amen. Amen.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat 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 shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom, Shabbat, Shabbat, can't hear it up here. Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
More in the monitor, please.
Yom Zeh Yisrael,
more dawn.
Yom Zeh Yisrael, Abisimcha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Abisimcha. Ora Abisimcha. Shabbat Menucha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Abisimcha. Shabbat. Shabbat. I can't hear him in my dawn.
Welcome. And shake each other's hands.
Gotta be louder.
Shabbat Shalom.
Israel.
This day for Israel. This day for Israel. Night and joy. This day for Israel.
Night and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. This day for Israel. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of his rest. Still gotta be louder.
We have been
raised up with Messiah. We are seeking the things. About 10 times louder. Our Lord is seated at the right hand of God, with our minds on things above us, on things that are on the earth. We have died and our life is hidden with Messiah in God. When Messiah is revealed, we'll shine with him. Messiah is revealed, we'll shine with him in glory. We have been raised up with louder. We are seeking the things above. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. We are challenged today. Forgive us. We've had storms, electrical storms here, serious storms last night. So we're struggling with technology today. Maybe something got hit, but our team is struggling. So please pray for us, and we're going to go on with the blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav et derech ha-Yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Okay. Are you getting a live stream feed that's sounding okay? Okay, good. Okay. Ma tovu. All right. Ma tovu, o halecha Yaakov, mishkenotecha Yisrael, how goodly are thy tents, O tabernacles, Israel. V'ani b'ro hasdecha, avo betecha, eshtacha ve'elhecha, kadshecha. Yiratecha, and in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow. There
O Lord, I love the house where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord thy Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to do the Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dor tamberit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dor tamberit olam. B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, od hili olam. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dor tamberit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai, Shemayim v'yet haaretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dor tamberit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen.
Manavu.
Is it going to play or?
Got it, Carol?
Manavu. Mashamiya, Yeshua, Mashamiya, Shalom. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him bringing good news. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him bringing good news. Proclaim to Zion, Yeshua. Proclaim to Zion, Shalom. Proclaim to Zion, Yeshua. Proclaim to Zion, Shalom. Mashamiya, Yeshua, Mashamiya, Shalom, Mashamiya, Yeshua, Mashamiya, Shalom.
Hallelujah. Pray for the peace, Jerusalem.
Thank you. You want me to pray?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you were going to do the song. Heavenly Father, we just pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Psalm 126, 22, verse 6 says, they shall prosper who love Jerusalem. May they prosper. We thank you, Lord. We've prayed for Jerusalem for 20 years. And we do and will prosper because we do pray and have prayed for the peace of Jerusalem every week. And sometimes some people pray more than every week. We pray for the peace, the shalom of Jerusalem and all Israel, Kol Israel. Pray, Lord, for open doors. I pray, Lord, for the salvation of our Jewish brothers there in Israel, that they would come to see their Messiah and scales would be removed. I pray, Lord, that the doors would be opened, the bronze doors will be opened for Aliyah, and that you will allow Jews and non-Jews alike to come and get their citizenship and live in the land, because the time is coming when to go, that you'll open the doors for Jew and non-Jew alike to come and get their citizenship, residency, whatever, but be able to come and move to Israel, Lord. We know it's a miracle that you're going to open those doors of bronze. I forget the scripture. I think it's Isaiah 52. Talks about opening the gates of bronze, but we believe you're going to do it, Lord. And we thank you for the Messianic community, Lord, in this country. I pray for the rabbis today. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them today. You know their needs. You know those who are struggling. You know those who are struggling with health. I pray for their healing. You know those who are struggling financially. I pray for their needs. You know those who are struggling with just the burdens of ministry, the challenges of ministry. I pray for them as well, Lord, and whatever they're going through. I just pray you help those leaders and help them to feed their flocks today. Give them boldness and courage to speak the truth in love. I pray for the salvation of our Jewish friends in this country and in the world and in the world who are lost, Lord. The time to favor Zion has come. I pray that you open their eyes, remove the scales, and let this start seeing their Messiah, Lord. You know, I pray for my own family, Lord. I've been the only believer in my family for 22 years, except for my dad when he got saved on his deathbed, but nobody knew that except me. I ask that you would send, give me three more in my family to help me fight the war, and send others too, Lord, and you know, just save your people Israel, save them, Lord, save your chosen people. They need Yeshua, Lord. They need Yeshua. Open their eyes, Lord, because your word says transgression of the Jewish people brought riches to the Gentiles and the world, what will their salvation be but greater riches, more greater things? You have greater things planned for the world when the Jewish people return. So we pray in Yeshua's name. We pray for Crystal Lynn, that you regulate her blood sugar. We pray that you heal that little girl, that you heal her pancreas, Lord, and that you get this attack under control. And that you just that you wouldn't need insulin. We just pray, Lord, I don't know where this diabetes came from, but we just pray that you help Crystal Lynn and heal her in the name of Yeshua, Lord. We just pray for that little girl and pray for Maria and Wendell as they're with her, and that they get rest. And we pray for David Peters for continued healing in his body, Lord. We pray for David Peters as he recovers from his fall off the ladder. And pray for Vicky for strength as she takes care of him and the family. Lord, that you help her. And I pray for Miss Dawn. I pray, Lord, that you help her as she finishes up this week, Lord. She has about 10 days left. A couple more nights, three more nights in the simulator, and then she takes her check ride, and then she'll be a first officer. And we thank you, Lord, that she's going to be a first officer, that she's going to finish, and that she's going to do it. And we've been saying she's going to do it for 20 years.
Amen.
And she's doing it.
Hallelujah.
She is doing it.
We love you, Don.
Amen. Amen. So how lovely are on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. In Yeshua's name, amen. Mocha Nedar Bakodesh. We didn't do the Shema.
We didn't do the Amidah.
Okay. All right. So let's do the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed, Yahavta et Adonai Elohecha, Bechol Levavcha, Uvechol Nafshecha, Uvechol Meodecha, Vahayu Hadivarim Ha'ele, Asher Nochim Etzelcha Hayom Al Levavecha, Vidibarta Baham, Beshivtecha Vavetecha, Uvlechtecha Vaderech, Uveshachbecha, Uvekumecha, Uchashav Taham, Liot Al Yadecha, Vahila Totafot Beinecha, Uchetav Taham, Almizazot Beitecha, Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God,
the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Ve'elim Adonai Mikamoha Nedar Bakodesh Norai Zehilo Osefele to that is Ein Kamocha Ba'elim Adonai V'Ein Kimasecha Malchutcha Malchut Kol Olamim U'Mimsheltecha V'Chol Dor V'Dor Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Imloch Le'Olam Va'ed Adonai Oz Le'Amo Yitain Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Ba'Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord. And there is nothing like your kings. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. All right. Well, let's just let's open the ark.
Okay.
And William, would you like to carry the Torah so people can kiss it today? Tovu manayim shevet achim gam yahad. Hine matovu manayim shevet achim gam yahad. Hine matovu shevet achim gam yahad. Hine matovu shevet achim gam yahad.
Shabbat.
Israel, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu.
Shema
Israel, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu. Vayhi ben Soharon vayomer Moshe Kuma Adonai v'yafutsu oivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion tetzei Torah ki mitzion tetzei Torah udvar Adonai miYerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Yisrael B'kdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Anthony, if you would mind closing the ark, please, it'd be great. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch et Adonai
Hamvorah.
Baruch Adonai Roch Yoam Ba'ed. Baruch Adonai Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim. Benatan Lanu et Torato. Baruch Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Today's Torah portion is starting with the book of New Book Deuteronomy, chapter 1 through chapter 3. And it divarium, it means words. If you read it today, you know that Moses will not be going into the promised land. And so these are his words. And basically what he does, he repeats the Torah to the children of Israel. And he reviews the events that occurred in the 40 plus years that they have traveled from Egypt. And he covers each commandment that was given by the Heavenly Father to them. But he rebukes the people for the failings and their iniquities. And one of those happens to be the ninth of Av, which is the spies when they came back from the promised land. And this Torah, this Shabbat today is called Shabbat Hazon, which actually means a vision. It comes out of Isaiah chapter 1. It talks about the third temple that it will be in the Messianic reign. So it's projecting that the Messiah will be coming, and he will be the one that will preside over that third temple. And of course, tonight at sundown begins the ninth of Av, and it would be a fast. It's 24 hours, and it ends, of course, on Sunday night. But, you know, it's one of the darkest days in the history of the Jewish people because so many things terrible happened on the ninth of Av. And one of those, both the temples were destroyed on the ninth of Av. World War One began on the ninth of Av, and of course the spies came back from Cana on the ninth of Av. And there's a whole lot more that's happened that I won't mention today because of the length of everything that we've got. But you know, he tells them to keep the Torah and to observe all the commandments that the Lord has given them, and he tells them that the land is an eternal heritage that they have received. You know, if you look at the Moses in the Torah today, he's a lot different than the Moses that was tending his sheep on Mount Horeb, and God spoke to him from the burning bush. And you know, Moses, I often wonder what that would have been like, seeing a bush burning and God speaking from a bush. But Moses asked God what his name was. He didn't really, I don't think he really gave him his name. He maybe gave more of a motto. He gave sort of a future thing here. He says, I am who I am. And he's saying, in the future, I will be what I will be. He doesn't really give him the name, but he gives him more of a, maybe you could say, maybe a motto or a mantra. I am who I am. But Moses was a different person after he encountered God. And he, you know, when he went to speak with Pharaoh, of course, Aaron went with him. But, you know, he tells the Israelites, the children of Israel, that he reiterates the promise that God made to Abraham, that you would be like the stars in heaven. And then he tells Joshua, who is the one who will succeed him as the leader, and he will lead the people into the promised land. He tells him to fear not, for the Lord your God, he will fight for you, and he will go before you. You see, repentance removed the sin from the Israelites because they had done a lot of things, a lot of iniquities. But it didn't change the procedure or the process that they had to go through to acquire the promised land. They still had to go into the promised land and acquire it. But the land of Cana could only be conquered with the Ark of the Covenant going forward and the leadership, the people following the leadership of Joshua. That's how they were going to conquer the land. The Ark of the Covenant had to go before them. Without it, they would not conquer the land. And, you know, God had rejected Israel's plan. You know, they wanted to conquer the land a different way. That's why they sent the 12 spies in to see what they could expect when they went in. But they didn't. But, you know, when you don't submit to the leadership, they couldn't conquer the land because they didn't want to follow Moses. And the Torah is true today. There's a process or a procedure that God has established for redemption. Any other way, any way to bypass that is a failure. You cannot succeed. There is only one way to redemption, and that is through the blood of the Lamb, which is the blood of Yeshua, the Son of God. You see, the Torah precedes the world. It descends everything, and it engulfs and encloses the world within itself. It speaks about ordinary matters. It speaks about marriage. It speaks about how to grow food. It speaks about the business practice. What is the best way to conduct your business? So the Torah is the essence of God. It is His word, and it is the target of the Torah is Yeshua. That is the target of the Torah. That's what it's pointing to. The word of God is about Yeshua. He is the word, and He became flesh, and He dwelt among us. That is the Torah portion today. Shabbat Shalom.
Vitzo Torah
Asher Samoshe Lifnei B'nai Israel Al-Piyadonai B'yamoshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Amen.
Amen. Mazikim ba betomcheha meushar derakeha kenoam bechol tivoteha shalom ashiri beinu Adonai elecha v'nashuva.
Wisdom is the tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. Test 1, 2. Praise the Lord. Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
I heard about 8 of them, but now let's try it all at once. One on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Shabbat shalom.
You know, you don't have to get excited about me, but get excited about God.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't expect you to get excited about me. You know, I knew a guy one time. He had a rabbi, and his rabbi, this guy, the rabbi never let him do anything. He never let him carry the Torah. The rabbi wouldn't let him march with the Torah. He wouldn't let him do a blessing. Guy was there for maybe a year, and he was faithful. The guy showed up for all the prayer meetings and all the Bible studies. He was completely faithful, and the rabbi didn't let him do anything. But you know what? That guy, he didn't focus on the rabbi. He focused on God. And you know what? That rabbi wouldn't let the guy become a member. And that when membership came around, what the whole thing was about? That guy was going to serve with a ministry. He had made plans in the future to go serve with a ministry that the rabbi didn't like. So just because the rabbi didn't like the ministry that the guy was going to serve with, he just totally cut him off. Amen? Totally cut the guy off. But the guy never stopped going until God took him out, took him away to another city, and then to that ministry. And you know, some people might say, well, he was disobedient to his rabbi, but was he really his rabbi? Because the rabbi wouldn't let him become a member. If you're not a member, if a rabbi, it's one thing if you are disobedient to your rabbi. It's another thing if your rabbi won't let you be a member. Right, Asha? If your rabbi won't let you join, then he's not your rabbi, is he? Or your pastor. Right. If you try to join a church and the pastor says, I'm sorry, we don't want you. Is that your pastor? No. Okay. So then you're not under the authority. Would you agree with that? If the pastor won't let you join the church, if a rabbi won't let you join the congregation, then you're not really under the authority of that person, are you?
Right.
So this man, he was faithful. You know why? Because he loved God. He loved Shabbat. Listen to me. He loved God. He loved Shabbat. And he loved the people. That he loved his people, his fellow that he worshipped with. He loved his friends and the congregation. And there was nowhere else he wanted to be until God took him somewhere else. Amen? Until God took him somewhere else. Then he was faithful to do what just to show up. Everybody say he showed up. He showed up and he worshiped God. And sometimes that's all you can do. That's all God requires of some people, you know. Praise the Lord. Okay, we don't have any, as far as announcements, Miss Dawn is in flight training, and she will be finished on August 1st, about 10 more days. Let's give a clap offering for that. She had a wonderful, wonderful 2 flights last night and the night before. They told her her instructors, who are captains, yucking it up with her. They were yucking it up with her. When you're in a flight simulator and your captains who are training you are yucking it up with you, that's a good sign. That means pretty soon you're with them. They're expecting to fly with you in a month or two or a few weeks. You know what I'm saying? They're not picking on you. They're not saying, "Hey, you better get it together. You're not going to make it." You see what I'm saying? So she's doing great, and let's pray for her. Heavenly Father, we lift up Dawn, and we just pray for her success tonight and this week, Lord. We just pray that you keep her mind, that your word says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Isaiah 30 and Psalm 37 says, you will give him the desires of his heart. You will give him the desires of his heart. Lord, we know that Dawn gave up the desire of her heart, which was flying, to serve for 22 years. This mic's going in and out. For 22 years, she gave up flying jets to serve you, and now she's going back to it. And I support her. I'm thrilled for her. It's not been easy for me, but I am thrilled for my wife. Let's give her a round of applause. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm happy for her. It's not easy for me. It's not easy for my boys. It's not easy for you. But, you know, our Rebbetzin has sacrificed much for us.
Amen.
And it's good for us to give back and let her,
amen,
you know, have some joy in her life. She's entitled to some nachas. Everybody say nachas.
Nachas
is good stuff.
Good,
it's blessing. In Yiddish, nachas is suris is trouble. Suris, T-Z-U-R-I-S, is trouble. Nachas is blessing, is joy. And so, you know, I encourage her, even though it's not, like I said, it's not been easy. But I want her to be successful. I want her to be happy. I want her to do this and fulfill her destiny. Amen? And I all like that. I mean, I could get into prophecy, but I'm not going to do it. But I'm just going to say, she's going to save many lives, and yours could be one of them. Mm-hmm. I believe she's going to save many lives, and yours could be one of them, if you have understanding. Anyway, okay. So we are making plans with New Life Baptist Church for the fall feasts and for a prophecy conference. The big transition really is getting moved over to the new building. For those watching on TV, we're going to be eventually moving, maybe this fall. I had an accident this week. I slipped in a store and a big big home store. I fell. My leg went out from under me, and I strained or pulled a muscle or tore. I don't know. I heard a pop in my quadricep, and it pulled out my back. And it's been a crazy few days, and I had to go to the orthopedist. I'm going to the chiropractor, and just all kinds of things going on. So, so anyway, why was I telling you that? Oh, so but what we're going to do is we're going to put this building up for. We've met with our board of directors, and we're going to put this building. We're going to try. Our goal is to move out of this neighborhood. And some of you have been to the building. Who's been to the building that we're looking to move into? Raise your hand if you've seen it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Three, four, over five. Here. Yeah. Okay. So we're planning. They've fixed it up for us. And what we're going to have to do, I've got a realtor, and we're going to put this up for sale. And then the goal is to move over to that building. And it's going to take, what we'll do is we'll leave our pews here probably and use the ones they got there. But we'll take all our furniture with us to the other building, and we'll move our sound system. And so that's going to take a big kind of a transition of, you know, just it's going to take hiring some people to do it, because I Sharon was going to do it all by herself, but we said no. We, you know, she offered, but we said you know, we thought we'd get her some help. So Aja volunteered to help her. And we thought they still might need some help. So then Carol said she'd join, and we said, you know, maybe we should still get some help. And so then we went to Diane, and she said, get Marilyn. So we asked Marilyn, and she said she would help. And there she is. Look at her in all her glory. Welcome, Marilyn.
Shabbat shalom.
Praise the Lord. So but Anthony's going to do it.
All right, so that's the plan. Y'all, so many people gave me a hard time when I bought this place, but God's done a lot of things. He's healed Wendell, three incredible miracles. A little girl named Brooke got healed. She had a fever one night. She came on a Wednesday night. God took the fever. That was a miracle that Yeshua performed in Capernaum. We've had Paul Wilbur here. We've had Marty Goetz twice. We've had Zamir Lavav. We've had Rabbi Kokeb. We've had all kinds of, we've had singers, you know, Salvation's here, and Corey Bell, and all, you know, and Deborah Klein, Ian Torno. Marty Goetz twice, yeah. Yeah. McKedden, not right here, but yes, in town, yeah. But Paul Wilbur actually played on this stage.
That's right.
So we've seen God move. We've seen healings. We've seen manifestations of the Holy Spirit. God's done great things. But I think the cloud's moving. And I think that, so I'm meeting with a realtor Monday, and then we're going to put it up, this on the market, and we're going to try, let's pray. Let's pray right now for a good sale and a good price. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us this building for several years. But we also thank you that the cloud is moving. And we thank you that that in your time, maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months, or whatever, that you sell this building and that you help us to move into our new facility, the new beautiful building with windows overlooking farmland and with a beautiful family life center, that you would help us to make that transition and move into that new facility that New Life Church is sharing with us, is giving us. They have an extra campus that they're letting us use, and we thank you for New Life, for Pastor Bill Christian. We ask your blessing on him, Pastor Coy, and the church. We pray for New Life and our relationship with them. Be blessed. And we just thank you for this season of transition, Lord. And in Yeshua's name, amen. Now, there will be Oneg. I think we have a little Oneg. Do we have a little Oneg? Over there, anybody? There is? What? A little bit? Okay, we have a little bit of Oneg. I'd like to meet. Can you stay for a little bit afterward? I'd like to meet with the ministry team, those who are, you know, involved, like Anthony and Diane and Carol and Isaac, those who deal with the equipment and stuff and deal with the actual ministry of the congregation for a few minutes afterward. But we can all, you know, we can either go eat lunch and do it or we can just do it, meet here first and then go over and eat, whatever you want to do. Anyway, so that is the situation. So we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. And, you know, I just want to say something. I've always said to you, I said, no matter what, whether we have 1,000 people, 500 or 50 or 25 people, my family and I are going to come here and worship. We're going to come and worship. We're going to worship. As long as we're in this town, there's going to be a messianic service.
Hallelujah.
Because that's what we do.
That's right.
And we're not going to go anywhere. In fact, we don't want to go anywhere. Some have said that we are, but we don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to. My wife's going to be based in Newark, New Jersey. I don't want to go to Newark, New Jersey. You know, she can go to Newark, New Jersey. I don't want to go to Newark, New Jersey. Okay, you know, I want to stay right here. So our family's goal, so just so you know from us, our family's goal is to stay here and have my wife, I pray that United Airlines would bring in, God's going to provide a way for her to get here and to work and back. But I'm not worried about it, you know. God did it. God will do it. Everybody say God will do it. God will do it. So, you know, that's the deal. I don't want to go live in New York City, outside New York City. Not in Newark. Exactly. Crazy. Anyway, so God bless Newark. It's a nice place to fly out of. Praise the Lord. I've flown out of there many times. And let's pray for our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our tithes and our offerings, for the chance to give back to you what you've given to us, Lord. Everything, the earth and all that is in it belong to you, Lord. And so we give you the praise and the glory in Yeshua's name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Bless these offerings. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
He who makes a pathway in the wilderness. He who makes the sun rise and the rain to fall, the God of Israel.
Is it coming through the house? Is the speaker coming through the house? It is? Okay. It's not coming through my... Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
I can do almost all things, but not everything. I try to do everything.
Hallelujah.
I can't quite. I haven't succeeded. Have you?
No. Thank you, Lord. Hello.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
No, he will never.
Let's worship.
Abandon us, no, he will never break. Lord will save us, our King will answer. Lord will save us, our King will answer. Lord, our King will answer the day that we call him. Lo Yitosh Hashem, Lo Yitosh Hashem, Lo Yitosh, Lo Yitosh Hashem, Shem Hoshiah HaMelech Aneinu, Shem Hoshiah HaMelech Aneinu. Us, no, he will never his people forsake. The Lord our God will not abandon us. No, he will never his covenant break. Lord, our King, our King will answer. The Lord will save us. Our King will answer. Lord, our King will answer the day that we call him. Mashiach, Melech Yaneinu. Shem Hoshiah, Melech Yaneinu. Your voice and fear not. Get you up on a high mountain, Zion. Above good tidings, lift your voice and fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Lift your voice and fear not.
I will not get you up on the mountain. Behold your God, God. Behold your God, God. Behold your God. Oh, get you up.
Zion, herald of good tidings, lift your voice and fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Lift your voice and fear not. How great are the things you How great are you, Lord?
How great are you, Lord?
Okay, we're going to come to the table of the Lord. If you're watching and you would like to participate and you have some bread or matzah or crackers and you'd like to join us, just grab some and some fruit of the vine, some grape juice or manischewitz, whatever suits you, caramel, freight train. Just kidding. It's a joke. Down here, they don't take the jokes down here in the south like they do up north. North, really. I like that stuff. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Okay, so I'm going to ask Miss Sharon and Diane if they would come and serve today. And we're going to bless the elements here. Hallelujah. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri Hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you chose Passover for your last supper, and that you took this third cup of the Passover meal and you blessed it, the cup taken after the meal, and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Amen. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua the Messiah, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Father, we lift up this bread to you, this matzah, which you showed us at Passover by taking the middle piece of three, which every Passover group takes. They call it the afikomen, and you broke it and gave it to your disciples and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just bless this bread. And thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. So we just we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that we have the victory. That no matter what things look like, no matter what, you know, what the situation looks like, we have the victory. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. So let's prepare our hearts. If there's anybody who doesn't know Yeshua today, I think most people here do know Yeshua. But if there's anybody that doesn't know Yeshua, let's bow our heads for a minute. If you don't know Yeshua, if you don't know Jesus as your Messiah, just raise your hand. Even if you're watching at home, just raise your hand. Even if you're in your living room or your car, just raise your hand up there like you're scratching your head if you're driving, and just indicate that you don't know the Messiah. And if you'd like to invite him to be your Savior, the Bible says if we confess with our mouths, if we believe in our heart that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord, that we will be saved. So I'm going to ask that you confess with me. Dear God, just confess, follow what I say. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son. I believe that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah and the Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. Come into my heart, God, with your Holy Spirit. Wash me, cleanse me, sanctify me, wash me in your blood. Forgive my sins, forgive my mistakes, forgive my transgressions. Come into my heart and write my name in your book of life forever. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, if you prayed that prayer, please contact me, message me on Facebook, or go to our website, and let me know, and we'll send you. We have a gift for you. And also, if you'd like to contribute today, you can do so securely online. If you'd like to, if you don't have a congregation, or you'd like to give a love offering to this one, you can support us online. It's right there at the website. It says donate, and you can do it securely on PayPal. We won't know who. We'll just know your name and what you gave. We won't know anything else about you. No phone number, no address, unless you give it to us by email or texting us somehow. If you let us know or call our office, then we'll send you a receipt and a tax-deductible receipt for your donation. So God bless you. Thank you for supporting this ministry. And forgive us again today for these. Last night we had lightning strikes and our sound system was all crazy today. So and video. But we seem to got it running somewhat. So praise God for that. Hallelujah. All right. Come as you're ready, folks.
To let him be.
Well, sometimes we forget how blessed we are to be able to take this. But there's millions and millions of lost people, millions, hundreds of millions, billions, who don't take this, who don't know Yeshua, who don't have. This life is temporal. It's just passing away. My cousin was talking about visiting. He was writing a thing on Facebook about how good it is to be able to go back and visit the old places. And I answered and said, you know, it is nice to go back, but sooner or later, people forget you. People move on. Somebody else lives in your old house. And one day you can't go back, and then you pass on, and nobody remembers you were ever there. Because this world is temporal. We're in time. The kingdom is eternal. The kingdom is eternal. And so, you know, we have the victory. We have eternal life. Is anybody excited about that? Amen. We have eternal life. You know, you're not always going to live in this town. You're not always going to live in your house. You know, your friends are going to go away. Your family's going to pass on. Things are going to change. But we have eternity. Hallelujah. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Okay. Well, I'm going to pray for the kids up there when I pray for the message. I'm going to ask if somebody could help me move that chair, my chair, up behind the podium. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. All right. So while Isaac's getting ready to put us on Facebook today, as he's getting ready to put us on Facebook Live, I'm going to just get ready here. And, thank you. Just a little closer. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, right there is good. Thank you. So, hallelujah. Looking for my wallet. You should bring those drinks over, honey.
Glorious, so God, awesome in your power and praise. For glorious, so God.
little closer today than last week. A little closer up. Yeah. Thank you. It's twisted. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Tell me when we're live. Okay. All right. Shabbat shalom, everybody. We're sorry for the delay. We want to pray for the children. Father, we just thank you for our kids. We bless them. And we just thank you, Lord, that you they are arrows in our quiver. They are the beginning of our strength. And they are our heritage, Lord. They are the future. Thank you that you give them a your word says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord, "plans to give you a hope and a future, plans to prosper you, not to harm you," God says. I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, says the Lord. And that's a word of the Lord for the children. And Lord, I just pray that you would prepare their helpmates today, even now, prepare their helpmates, and then that you would prepare them for their helpmates one day, for the right one, Lord, as time goes by, Lord, that you would prepare them, prepare their hearts, and make them ready for that day. Prepare them for their future and their careers. Prepare them for what they're going to do in life. I pray in Yeshua's name, and I bind the enemy. Amen. Okay, today's message. I'm not messing around. Today's message is the blessing of good stewardship. I want to welcome the folks on Facebook. The message is the blessing of good stewardship. Now, let's start in Matthew 25. And we're going to read the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. So if you want to go to Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. Take a moment to get there. Grab your Bible or your electronic tablet or whatever you use. Matthew 25:14, and it's the parable of the talents. And it starts in verse 1, actually. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like..." And Yeshua, Jesus, is talking about the kingdom of heaven, what it's like. And he says, "For it is like a man," verse 14, "about to go on a journey, he called his own servants and handed over his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another he gave 1, each according to his own ability. Then he went on his journey. He went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. Then the same way, the one who gained with 2 gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought another 5 talents, saying, 'Master, you handed me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful with a little, so I'll put you in charge of much. Enter into your master's joy.' The one who had received the 2 talents also came up and said, 'Master, you handed me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little, so I put you in charge of much. Enter into your master's joy.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came up and said, 'Master, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you don't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I was afraid and I went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' But his master responded, 'You wicked, lazy servant. You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I didn't sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you should have brought my money to the brokers, and when I came, and I would have received it back with interest. Therefore, take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to the one who has, more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. From the one who does have, from the one what he excuse me but from the one who does not have even what he has shall be taken away. Though the throw the worthless servant out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, let's stop there. Okay, so first of all, let's talk about what a talent is. Okay, a talent in this case, or the parable, Yeshua spoke in parables, so that means he spoke with hidden meaning. He would give a message, and it would have a hidden meaning, and so it would mean one thing, but it really meant something else. Everybody say it would mean one thing. Say that it would mean one thing, but it really meant something else. Okay, so on its face here, he's talking about money. On its face, he's talking about money. So a talent was a measure of weight of money, of silver or gold, about 75 pounds. In this parable, it's referring to silver, or in our modern dialect, it would be money. Again, we see the talent referred to in the context of money in the parable of the forgiveness of the unrighteous servant in Matthew 18, who was forgiven for losing his master's money, and then the master forgave him, but then when his servant lost money, he wouldn't forgive, and the master said, throw him off into outer darkness, give him to the torturers. That's what he said to him in Matthew 18. He said to the unforgiving steward, he said, hand him over to the torturers. Okay, so that's what we get when we don't forgive. And I just want to say something about unforgiveness in Matthew 18. If you have unforgiveness, how do you know if you have unforgiveness? Well, I know a lady, and one day, I talked to her for years, and she would complain about her pastors, and she would complain about her ex-husband, and she would complain about things that happened 30 years ago. And every pastor she ever had, she complained about, and her ex-husband, and she complained about this, and she complained about that. She was bitter, and she was resentful of all these things. And one day it hit me. She was telling me about some incident that happened to her 30 years ago. Everybody hear that? 30 years ago. Everybody say 30 years ago. 30 years ago, she was complaining about something that happened to her. And I said, you know something? You need to forgive. You need to let go. You need to let it go. Move on. Drop it. Move on with your life. Forgive that person. Forget about it. Move on. I'm not saying you have to go out and have a steak dinner with that person. I'm not saying you have to go and remarry your ex-husband. But move on. Forgive. Amen? Amen. Just let go. That is a spirit of bitterness, a spirit of unforgiveness. And in Matthew 18, God says, if we don't forgive as we are forgiven, he will hand us over to the torturer. So most people, it doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means if you don't forgive, you're going to end up tortured. Your life is going to be miserable. You won't have joy. You won't have peace. You won't have prosperity. You'll just be miserable. You still have your gifts. You still have your salvation. Maybe you're an intercessor. Maybe you're whatever. You can do this or that. But you will lose your joy. You'll be miserable. Okay? So let's move on to the talents. So the parable of the talents. So he says, so we have three people here in the parable of the talents. Again, today's message is the blessing of good stewardship. And this is about stewardship. And he says to the one, he gave one servant, he gave him five talents, and that guy brought him back 10 talents. And he said to you, he said, when the master came back and he gave him 10 back, the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little, so I put you in charge of much. So the one, and he gave another one 2 talents, and he gave them back 2 more. And he said, you were given little, but you've brought back, the same, you've doubled your money, your talents. Amen? So go off into your master's joy, and you're going to be given much in the kingdom. Much responsibility. And so, but the one who dug a hole and buried his talent, didn't use it, he was what he had was taken from him. Now, let me just say this. As a believer, we all have the ability to bear fruit for God. The world can't do it. I belong to a civic club, okay? There's many civic clubs. You read sign coming into Bristol over by Kroger there, and there's all the civic clubs of Bristol. You know, the Lions Club, the Rotary Club, the Civitan Club, the Optimist Club. There's all these different clubs, and they all do good. They all do nice works. They do nice things. They have charitable things. They get together and have lunch, and they have a speaker, and they raise charity. But who are they raising it for? Are they raising it for the Lord, or are they raising it to do good works for men? Are they doing it in the name of Jesus? Are they doing it for Yeshua? I belong to one of these groups. But they're not doing it for Yeshua. They're doing it for, you know, so they can pat themselves on the back and say, we raised $100,000 for this cause. Praise, you know, pat themselves, go have a cigar and feel good when they go out on their yacht or fly their plane and go down to the Cayman Islands. They can feel like they did something good. Amen? But that's not what God's interested in. God's interested in your talent. So let's read on here. The quintessential chapter on stewardship is Matthew 25, as we just read, the parable of the talents. Although the parable talks of money, it also speaks of abilities and gifts that God gives us and how we use them. It speaks of abilities and gifts that God gives us and how we use them. It also speaks of inability. It also speaks of inabilities that God gives you. Oftentimes, God, and this is, you know, the mystery of the parable of the talents is God, it's not just talking about money, it's talking about the tools God has given you. You know, since I've been given the gospel and I've found Yeshua, I've been able to preach the gospel and bring maybe thousands of people into the kingdom. So the Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls. So I have had the privilege of leading perhaps thousands of souls into the kingdom, okay? And who knows, I know one lady I led to the Lord. She's a missionary. She's led thousands, hundreds or maybe thousands of others. So it's like a multiplying exponential effect of bearing fruit, you know, for God, whereas someone who doesn't know God hasn't even begun, they haven't even gotten up to bat. They haven't even gotten up to bat. You see what I'm saying? So stewardship is how we manage God's resources and abilities. And there's four primary areas of stewardship. First thing is the principle of ownership. What did the master in the parable of the talents do? He gave the servants a talent, right? He gave them talent, but did he give it to them or did he lend it to them? Did he give them the talents to keep or did he say, invest them and then give them back to me later on? What did he do? Invest them. So did he give them? No, he didn't give them the talents. He lent them the talents. Amen? Okay, so stewardship, there's four primary areas of stewardship. The principle of ownership. Psalm 24 begins, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. In Genesis, God made Adam his steward over the garden to work it and take care of it. Man was created to work and we were given stewardship of God's creation. God is the owner. We are his managers or administrators. Okay? So God, everybody say God is the owner. He owns everything. There's nothing we have. I know a guy with a Ferrari and a G5 or a G7 Gulfstream. Donald Trump has a 757. None of it belongs to him. That the guy with the Ferrari and the Gulfstream doesn't belong to him. And God just lent it to him. And you know what? God's watching and see what each one does with what they've been given. Are they using it for selfish things? Or are they using it? Now that doesn't mean God doesn't give you good things. God wants to, a friend of mine said to me recently, he's a manager of a car dealership. And anyway, he said, Joe, people, believers, he says, they give, but they don't know how to receive. Believers give, but they don't know how to receive from God. They often, God wants to give them, believers, his people, he wants to give them nice gifts, nice things, but they don't know how to receive it. People are better at giving than taking. Amen? Would you agree with that? All right. So so let's start. Regarding the administration of everything, good stewardship, God is the owner. Good stewardship expresses our obedience regarding the administration of everything God has placed under our control, which is all-encompassing. Commitment. Stewardship is the commitment of oneself, abilities, and possessions to God's service, recognizing that we do not have the right of control over our property or ourselves. In Deuteronomy 8:17, we are warned against believing that our power and strength have produced wealth for us. But in Deuteronomy 18:8 reminds us otherwise, to remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So in Deuteronomy 18:7, we're warned, don't think that your power did it. If you get wealth or you get something from, you prosper. Don't think you did it. And Deuteronomy 18:8 says, reminds us that it's God who gives us the ability to produce wealth. Amen? God gives us the ability and the power to produce wealth. Does God say don't produce wealth? No, he doesn't say that. Why would he even talk about producing wealth if he didn't want us to produce wealth? You think God wants you to be poor? You think God wants you to suffer and live in a tent under a bridge and call yourself troll? Do you think that's what God wants? Does God want you to shave a bald spot on your head and put a brown robe on and become a monk, go live on the edge of a cliff in a monastery? Do you think that's what he wants for most people? Okay, let's go on. Okay. Number two, the principle of responsibility. So first one was commitment. God wants us to commit to taking our abilities and our possessions and to using them for his service. Okay? So I'm going to ask you a question. What are you committed to? How do you serve God? What's your commitment to serving God? How do you use your talents? And your talents, you may not even have a talent. God may ask you to do something that you're not even, like Moses. He asked Moses to go to the children of Israel, to go to Pharaoh and say to Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He said to Moses in Exodus 3, Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. I've chosen you to deliver my people. And Moses says, God, who am I that I should say to Pharaoh, who am I that I should deliver your people? I can't even speak, Moses said. God said, you're the man. Moses said, I can't even speak. Everybody said, I can't speak. But God said, okay, I'll give you Aaron. Aaron will be your voice. He'll be your mouthpiece. Amen? But you're the man, Moses. See, Moses didn't have the gift. He didn't have the talent, did he? He didn't have the natural ability. Do you understand what I'm saying? But he had the anointing. See, the natural ability is not the same as the anointing. You can be something in the natural. You can be a good cook. You can be a good talker. You can be a good student in the natural. You can be a lion and a type A person in the natural. And God wants to make you a lion in the spirit. See? God wants to tame the lion in the natural and make you a lion in the spirit. Pay attention. Okay? God wants to make you a lion in the spirit. If you're an otter, you know what otters do? They bounce around. Or like Tigger. You know, remember Tigger? He's jumping around. Some people are like Tigger, aren't they? They're just bouncing around from... They're always happy, and they're goofy, and they're always joking around, and they're never serious, right? Have you ever met one of those people? Raise your hand. If you ever met somebody who's like a Tigger, who's always bouncing around, never serious, always joking around, amen? You know, God wants to take a Tigger and take the Tigger and take that Tigger and put a bit and a bridle on that horse and make that Tigger into something he can use. He likes those personalities, but he wants that Tigger to get serious about serving God. That's commitment. Okay, let's go on to the responsibility. Number two, the principle of responsibility. Since God owns it all, we are merely responsible for what he entrusts us with, how we treat it, and what we do with it. We will all one day have to give an accounting for what we did with God's talents. Amen? Because remember, who do they belong to? Remember the parable of the talents? Who did the people were given five and two and one talent? Who did they have to give it back to? The master, right? So that's what God's saying. I'm going to give you talents, but one day you're going to have to give an accounting for what you did with those talents. Are you listening?
Amen.
One day... Peel said, while we complain about our rights here on earth, the Bible constantly asks, what about your responsibilities? Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. Owners have rights. We don't have any rights. You don't have any rights. The Bill of Rights is bogus. You don't have... If you have rights, it's only because God permits you to. Every one of us deserves hell. Okay? Every one of us deserves hell. What's God's standard? Perfection. God's standard is perfection. God's standard is people say they keep the law. I'm always skeptical about people who say, oh, I keep the law. I keep Torah. Oh, if you keep Torah, do you? Well, where's your sacrifice? Where's your temple? Where's your altar? Where's the temple in Jerusalem? So you bring your sacrifice up there? You keep all 613 commandments? You don't keep the law. You who say you keep the law, you eat in restaurants where they serve pork and where they serve shrimp? Do you eat in those restaurants where they serve that stuff? How about your business? Do you keep your business open on Saturday, on the Sabbath? Do you break the law? Of course, every one of us breaks the law every single day because we're not saved by keeping the law and nobody keeps it. All right. So Peel said, while we complain about our rights here on earth, the Bible constantly asks us, what about your responsibilities? John F. Kennedy said it best. I don't even know if he was a believer. He didn't really show forth the fruit of a believer. But he said something really incredible. He said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Isn't that what he said? He said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. It's not about me. Everybody say that. It's not about me. But people get offended. And people, they get, and we'll talk about this later on, and we get to Peter. People get offended. They get their toes stepped on, and they go off and have a pity party, and you know, and they quit, and they don't tell you. You may have done incredible favors for them. You may have led their children to the Lord. You may have led them to the Lord. You may have prayed healing over them, and they got healed. You may have prayed, you know, healing over them, and they got delivered or delivered from demons. And then I remember one gal, let me tell you a little story. This gal, her mother had cancer. So I went and prayed for her mother in the hospital. And she was in her 50s, the mother. And I prayed for her. She looked like she was 70. And she got healed of breast cancer. And she got out of that bed She ditied herself up, real pretty lady. She didn't look 70 anymore. She dyed her hair blonde. She got on the back of a motorcycle with her boyfriend, went down to Myrtle Beach, started partying, hot tubbing. She got better, but she went to sinning. She went to evil doing, okay? And she didn't turn to God and say, hey, God, just like the lepers, when Jesus healed the lepers, only one of them went back and thanked him. And when Yeshua would forgive somebody or heal, he'd say, go and sin no more. Didn't he say that? He'd say, go and sin no more. But this gal, I'm not going to name her name, she went off and partied. She went off and party, and guess what happened? The cancer came back. I got the phone call, Rabbi, my mother's dying. Will you come to the hospital? So I went to the hospital. I met with the mother. This time, there was no healing for the cancer. But I shared the Lord. And you know what? She prayed with me right there in the hospital to accept the Lord. And she received the Lord before she died on her deathbed. And then not only that, a woman up the hall heard me. And she said, Brother Joe, she came down and said, Brother Joe, I heard you. And she said, would you come pray for my mother? She's up the hallway. She can't speak. So I went and laid hands on her mouth. I grabbed her by the mouth and I said, you dumb, mute spirit, come out of her in Yeshua's name. And you know what? She hadn't talked in maybe 5 or 10 years. She started speaking. She lived about 2 more years, 3 more years, whatever, and she spoke. God took the mute spirit, the dumb, mute spirit out of her and opened her mouth and she could talk. And that's not the first time I've seen that. I've done it. God's done it through this hand with another woman up in Zion, Illinois. My friend Sister Phyllis, her aunt, was lying in her sick bed on her deathbed, sick as a dog, lying there, couldn't barely move, couldn't talk. I put my hand on her mouth and on her, you know, her chin, and I commanded that dumb, mute spirit to come out of her, and that spirit came out, and she could talk. And she spent her last time talking. Isn't that awesome? So God gave me, I mean, I'm not trying to brag, but he gave me a gift of healing, and I use it. And I've seen many people healed. Wendell got healed last week. Did you see Wendell pick up the Torah? He had a bad back injury. He'd been out of work for weeks. Hadn't been out of congregation, out of work. He got healed. Did you hear him testify? I didn't do it. God did it. I just asked him to come up and carry the Torah. As soon as he carried the Torah, he said he felt fire. Okay, let's go on. So, as stewards, we are responsible to manage God's holdings well and according to his desires and purposes. It's not about us. It's not, say that, it's not about me. When you come to service, when you come to congregation, your attitude should be, ask not what I can, what my congregation can do for me, ask what I can do for my congregation. Amen. Ask not what my congregation can do for me, ask what I can do for my congregation. How can I serve? What can I do? Except besides warm a pew. What can I do besides warm a pew? Is there anything I can do? Think about it. Number 3, the principle of accountability. Who are you accountable to? In Acts 15, we see Paul was accountable to the apostle Timothy, to the apostles, excuse me. Timothy was accountable to Paul. Polycarp was accountable to John. And great leaders like Moses, King David, Solomon, and the like were accountable to God directly. Joshua was accountable to God directly. But very few of us have no earthly authority. Amen? Do you agree with that? Very few of us. Everybody's accountable to somebody, okay? Paul went back to the Jerusalem Council to get their approval for what he was doing among the Gentiles several times. And Acts 15 was one of them. And he was accountable to the apostles. Paul knew the Lord, but he still was submitted to the authority of the apostles and to James. If you read Acts 15, you'll see James brought the decision regarding the Gentiles. Amen? So even though Paul knew God personally, he still recognized the authority of man and the what's it called in the military, Anthony? The chain of command. He recognized the chain of command. Okay. So some people are directly, people will say to me all the time, they say, oh, I love this one. People tell me, they say, oh, I answer to God. I answer to God. Somebody dropped sunglasses there. I don't want to step on them. They say, I answer to God. Okay. Are you Moses? He answered to God directly. Are you Joseph in Egypt? He answered to God. Daniel answered to God. Are you Daniel? Are you, you know, that you answer to God directly? Not me. I have to answer to a board of directors. I am accountable to men. I'm part of the IAMCS, the International Association of Messianic Congregations and Synagogues. I have to answer to them. I'm under their authority. They have an authority over me. My board of directors has an authority over me. Yes, I'm accountable to God through men. Do you understand that? Through men, I'm accountable to God. Praise God. And it's a good thing, too, because when was the last time you heard God sat down next to you on your easy chair or on your couch and said, this is what I want you to do today. I want you to put on your blue shirt and your gray pants, and I want you to put on those nice black shoes that I helped you buy last fall, and I want you to wear that cordovan belt that you got at Belk's. And then I want you to go out and I want you to go see this woman who lives in Bluff City. And I want you to visit her. And then I want you to go to the hospital and see this patient. How many of us, our days, God, you know, makes out our calendar like that? Raise your hand if God makes your calendar like that. Anybody? Come on. Somebody. Billy. God makes his calendar. Anybody else? God makes Billy's calendar like that. There's times when God tells you what to do, but sometimes you just pray, God, gird me up with your armor, direct my steps, and you go out and do what's on your heart to do. And if something else happens, something else happens. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, so ask not what your congregation can do for you, and don't have a pity party. It's not about you. Ask what you can do for your congregation. Praise the Lord. Polycarp was accountable to John. He was John's disciple. Was Polycarp accountable to God? Sure he was. But through John. John was his teacher. Great leaders like I mentioned that. Even Billy Graham was accountable to man, to men. He had a board of directors, elder boards. In situations like the Church of God, pastors are submitted to the elder boards. I'm sure in the AME Zion there's some form of leadership, of hierarchy. In the Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, they have the district superintendent, then they have the bishop. Every Methodist pastor, one Methodist pastor was fired for having me against the district superintendent, told him not to have me do a revival. This is about 17 years ago. And he had me come anyway. So he was fired. He lost his job because his district superintendent said, don't have this guy, this Jewish guy. And he had me. So he got fired. And then later on, he got rehired by the Methodist Church, and he served another probably 14 years with them, and then he's moved on. But that was his, you know, he disobeyed his district superintendent. So anyway, so let's go on. All right. You get it. So Bob Dylan said, everybody's got to serve somebody sometime. Everybody's got to serve somebody sometime. Yeah. You serve God. I get it. We're all servants of God. But do you have a boss? Or did you have a boss to be accountable to? Are you accountable to a boss for those who work? How about the government? I know someone on Social Security who called me this week. They took away $2,000 in prescription benefits. They took away her housing, $500 housing apartment. They took that away. And they took away her annual raise on her Social Security, and they took away her SNAP, her food stamps. All she has is her Social Security now. That's all she has left. I don't know why they took it away. They took it away all at one time. I want to pray for her before we finish. Anyway, everybody's got to serve somebody, and we all serve the government. If you break the law, you could be fined extensively. You could be imprisoned or even put to death. If you break the law, you could be fined heavily, thousands of dollars. You could be imprisoned or you can be put to death. We all pay taxes. Yeshua said, "Render unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar." God doesn't respect when we don't follow the governing authorities. Romans 13:1 and 1 Peter 2:11. And let's look at that. Go to Romans 13:1 for a second. This is so important, and people don't grasp it. They just don't. I'm going to say it again. Romans 13:1. Let every person. Let's all say that. Let every person. Who does that leave out? Nobody, right? Let every person submit himself to governing authorities, for there is no authority. Yeshua said? He said, "Render unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are put in place by God. So whoever opposes the authority, all authority," God says here in Romans 13, "all authority is from God." God spoke to my spirit after years. It took several years, maybe 5 or 6 years of Obama's presidency. He said, "Joe, I put him there. I put him in office. He's my man. Don't fight it. You know, don't. People shouldn't fight it. People need to go with it. He's my man." Guess what? Donald Trump. God put him there. How do I know? It says so right here in the Bible. Let every person, how many people? Everyone, submit himself to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are put in place. Bill Clinton was put in place by God. Jimmy Carter, George Bush, Johnson, Kennedy, Eisenhower, you name it, Garfield, Lincoln, George Washington, Cyrus, Netanyahu, they're all put in power by God. Okay? So whoever opposes the authority has resisted God's direction, and those who have resisted will bring judgment on themselves. Ooh, did you hear that? If you oppose the authority that God has established, and all authorities from God, it says you will bring judgment on yourselves. So I'm not just talking about presidents. That means if you oppose your boss, anybody that's in authority over you, anybody, if you oppose the authorities that are over you, the police, if you oppose the mayor, if you oppose whoever's in authority, your professor, you will bring judgment upon yourself if you break the rules. Amen? I'm sorry to say it, but that's the reality of life. That's not what the world wants to hear. It says, "For leaders cause no fear for good behavior, but for bad. Now, if you do not want to fear the authority, do what is good, and you will get his approval. For he is God's servant to you for your good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not carry the sword for no reason. For he is God's servant and avenger who inflicts punishment on the evildoer. Therefore, it is necessary to be in submission, not only because of punishment, but also because of conscience. For this reason, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, attending diligently to this very thing. Pay to everyone what is due them. Tribute to whom tribute is due, tax to whom tax, respect to whom respect, and give honor to whom honor is due. Praise God. Turn to 1 Peter 2, and then we'll move on. This is very important. People stumble, especially believers. Remember I told you about that guy who had a rabbi who neglected him, and he just ignored the rabbi. You know, he didn't ignore his messages, but he, you know, the rabbi didn't let him do anything. The rabbi didn't like him, but he listened to the rabbi's message, and he enjoyed the congregation that he was in, and he tithed, and he was a part of it, even though the rabbi wouldn't let him join. God told him he was a member. He was supposed to join that congregation, but even though the rabbi wouldn't let him join, he knew that was it was his home. Praise God. And so he tithed to that congregation. All right. Verse 13 of 1 Peter 2. For the Lord's sake, submit yourselves to every human authority, whether to a king as supreme or to governors sent by him for the punishment of those who do evil and the praise of those who do good. For this is God's will, that you silence the ignorance of foolish men by doing good. Live as free people, but not using your freedom as covering for evil. Rather, live as God's slaves. Honor all people. See that? Live as God's slaves. It's not about you. It's about what you do with God's, what God gives you. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, with all respect, submit yourselves to your masters. Listen here. Not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are harsh. For this finds favor, if for sake of conscience toward God, someone endures grief from suffering undeservedly. For what credit is there if when you sin and get a beating, you endure it? But if you endure when you do good and suffer for it, this finds favor with God. Do you see that? So you may have you may not like your preacher. You may not like your rabbi. You may not like your pastor. Maybe you feel your pastor or your preacher, your rabbi stepping on your toes. God says, stick it out. Tough it out. It's not about you. God says, or maybe somebody else, maybe your husband, or steps on your toes. And God says, submit yourselves to those people, verse 18, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are harsh. For this finds favor with God, if for the sake of conscience toward God, someone endures grief from suffering undeservedly, even parents. If you suffer under hard parents, children, if your parents are harsh with you, and you suffer, and you bear up under it, and you endure it, it says, this finds favor with God. You hear that? If you have parents who are tough on you, and they pick on you, you know, I know some parents who you know, in my life, who've been pretty tough on their kids, okay? But it's if the kid, what God's saying is, endure, put up with being treated harshly, and this finds favor with God. But if you just endure when you're treated good, if somebody pats you on the back and is nice to you, and you do good to them, and you buy them a box of chocolate because they're nice to you, that doesn't find favor with God. Does that make sense? People, too many believers get their toes stepped on. They have pity parties. Why? Because they're focused on themselves. They're focused on themselves, and they're focused on their own ideas, their own thoughts, instead of being real servants, instead of being stewards. I'm talking, what's today's message? The blessing of good stewardship. If you're really a good steward of God, you're not going to care if your rabbi or your pastor or your boss steps on your toes. you're going to serve God. You're going to do the best you can, no matter what. You're not going to care if the president is a Republican or a Democrat. You're not going to care you want to support a candidate? Okay, support a candidate. But if your candidate loses, get over it. And realize God picked somebody else. God picked somebody else. And get over it. Move on. I wish this country could move on, but it's just crazy. This unending fighting that's going on. It's crazy. Let's go on. The principle of reward. In Colossians 3:23-24, let me just read this to you. Are you getting the point? It goes back to the parable of the talents. When we are obedient to serve God to the best of our abilities, in giving, in time, and work, He blesses us. Failure to do so, being a lone ranger, doing it your own way instead of God's way, only brings heartache and sorrow. God can take just a couple talents and multiply them exceedingly. If you'll allow God to use your gifts for His purposes, not your purposes, and you allow God, He'll multiply them and He'll bless you. Amen? If you let Him. But if you are a lone ranger and you're determined to do it your way and you're fighting, what you end up doing is you're fighting God. If you're a lone ranger, that's another word for a lone ranger, a rogue. If you've gone rogue, if you've gone AWOL, if you jumped the sheep pen, yeah, and you're doing it your own way, don't expect God to bless you. Right. Let's talk about the blessing, the principle of reward, number four. In Colossians 3:23-24, Paul writes, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord, Messiah, you are serving. So though we work under the authority of men, we do so recognizing that we are serving God in the process." I'll say that again. This is important about reward, because in Colossians 3:23-24, Paul writes, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord." So you may not like your boss. You may not like the president. You may not like the mayor. You may not like the preacher. You may not like the rabbi. You may not like the head of the church that you're a part of. You may not like, there's folks I know that belong to churches that don't agree with the head of the church. But if you're going to stay in the church, might as well submit to it. I'm talking about national, like the head of the whole church, like the Pope. If you're going to be a Catholic, follow the Pope. If not, get out of there. "Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the..." This is Paul talking, God. "You receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Messiah you are serving. So though we work under the authority of men, we do so recognizing that we are serving God in the process." Peel says, "Faithful stewards who do the master's will with the master's resources can expect to be rewarded incompletely in this life, but fully in the next." Okay, I'll say that again. Peel says, "Faithful stewards who do the master's will with the master's resources can expect to be rewarded completely, incompletely in this life, but fully in the next." Conclusion. The goal is Matthew 5:25-21. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's joy." I ask you, have you been faithful with the talents God's entrusted to you? Have you been faithful with His Word? Have you been faithful with your resources? Have you been faithful in your congregation? Have you served to the best of your ability? You know, when I first went to congregation as a young boy, as a 30-year-old man, 29, I didn't do much. I didn't sweep the floor. I didn't really do much. I just let everyone else do it. You know, I didn't pick up a broom. I just, for the first 6 months. But then when I went to serve with a ministry the next year, I used to set up the chairs. I put the prayer books out. I was on the worship team. I was on the O-Neg team. I served the food. I cleaned up the mess. I started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, didn't get out to midnight. Okay? That was what I did in 1996. I started out in congregation doing nothing in 1996. And from February to August of 1996, I did nothing except what they asked me to do. I carry the Torah once in a while, and they stopped. But when I went to serve, I learned how, when I went to a ministry, I learned that being a steward means if there's a need, like we have a need here, we have some needs, okay? We have a need to fix the sound. We have a need to cut the bushes. Bushes need trimming. I don't have anybody. I can't do it. I can't. I threw my back, threw my groin out, threw my, tore my quadricep this week. It's amazing. It's a miracle that I'm standing here before you. You know, I've been having back spasms, and I'm getting better. I'm going to beat it. My leg's going to get better. But right now I can't bend over and pick something up. I don't even know if I can get on the floor, if I could get up by myself. You know, but I'm here. Ask not what your congregation can do for you. Ask what you can do for your congregation. Amen? I'm not boasting. This is my job. So I ask you, have you been faithful with the talents God has entrusted to you? This is not my, I don't own this building. This is not my, God's put me as a steward over this ministry, but I don't own it. He could take it away from me if He wanted to. It's your ministry too. How many of us are actually serving in it? How many of us are actually doing more than warming a pew? Not just talking to you, I'm people who aren't here. How many people in this congregation are actually doing anything, or are they nursing a wound and having a pity party and feeling stepped on and hurt instead of thinking how, you know, they're thinking of self instead of serving God? And it's not about us. Say, it's not about me. I heard two people. It's not about me. Is it about you? Raise your hand if it's about you. Because then I want to shake your hand and I want to hang out with you. If it's about you. Because if it's about you, I want to party with you. I want to hang out with you. Is it about you? A lot of bitter people out there, because it's all about them. You know, you'll be miserable in life if you think it's about you, because it isn't. My wife left me 7-8 weeks ago. You think it's been fun? It's been hard, very hard. It's gotten harder. I don't know when she's coming back. I don't know how long she'll stay when she does come back. Suck it up. That's what I got to do. Nothing. I have no other choice. So God says, if you have been faithful with a few things, He will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's joy. I ask you, how have you been faithful with the talents God has entrusted you? Do you feel complete? Do you feel complete? Do you feel fulfilled? Or do you feel something is missing? Unfulfilled, unfinished. Recently at conference, I was approached by a woman who had all the worldly comforts and wanted to make Aliyah and move to Israel, but she confided that she felt God had more work for her to do here in this country, that she hadn't finished her assignment, and that somehow it was connected to us. And so I said, my suggestion was, come here. Come. Spend a year. Spend 6 months. Come here. Find out. And then if it doesn't work, go make Aliyah. Go to Israel. But try it. Simple as that. Give it 6-9 months, or at least give it a year. See if it's for you. Amen? How many of us feel like we've completed the assignment? Or how many feel that we are unfinished? Or we have work to do and we're not? Amen. Amen. There's still more to do. God's not done with me. But how many feel they're not finished? They're not doing it. If you feel like in your heart, if you're doing what God's calling you to do, and I'm always available to talk to people, but unfortunately, oftentimes people, they get, somehow I just preach and it steps on their toes, and then they walk off and I don't see them. They never call me. They never meet with me or Dawn. No appointments, no prayer. They don't serve. They don't help. They don't do anything in the congregation except warm a pew and tithe, which is nice. I mean, if people want to give and tithe, that's great. And I'm glad to have people come. But, God has so much more. So much more that you can do. So that lady wasn't finished. She came to me for guidance. I wish more people came to me for guidance. I wish more people came to me for prayer and blessing. I said, Rabbi, I have a question about my stewardship. Rabbi, I have a question about my faithfulness. Rabbi, I have a question about my relationship with my boss or my wife. I wish more people came and asked those questions. If we are good stewards, God will entrust us with much, much more. That's the blessing of being a good steward. God will entrust you with much more. Scriptures on stewardship. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. 1 Peter 4:10, based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also, and this has to do with your service, not just giving. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. When I fell at Lowe's the other night, and I fell and slipped in Lowe's, there was a man, customer, and he was talking to me. He saw me fall. And I went outside to leave, and I asked him if I could get his phone number to be a witness, and he said, no, I don't want to get involved. And I said to him, well, thank you. It's real nice of you, buddy. And, he started cussing at me. And I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the way you treated me comes back to you. So I told him. Wouldn't be surprised. I didn't tell him. I didn't curse him. Didn't say, God's going to curse you. I just said, wouldn't be surprised. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 9, remember this, the person who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. The person who sows generously will also reap generously. We reap what we sow. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, not out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want you to leave today thinking about this as we part. Are you a steward of the word? Are you a steward in your kehillah, in your congregation? Are you a good steward, faithful? Are you a steward in taking care of your neighbor? Are you a steward over your finances, time? Do you use your time to serve God, or do you goof off? Are you a steward over your time, or do you use it to goof off? Are you a steward over you know, an ability? God gives us talents, but you know what? This is the neat thing. God uses people who don't. He make like Moses and sends him to Pharaoh, and these are people who say, "Who, me? Elijah?" You know, Elijah didn't want to do it. He didn't want to go. You know, he ran away from Jezebel. You know, a lot of people didn't want to serve God. They were, you know, they weren't cut out for it. But God said, Gideon. God said, mighty man of valor. Gideon looked around. Who, me? everybody say, yeah, you. Look to your neighbor and say, yeah, you. Yeah, you. Who, me? Yeah, you. You may be the answer to somebody's prayer. You may be the answer to somebody's prayer if you're willing to allow yourself, if you're willing to allow God to use you. But if you don't, this is my last word, if you don't allow God to use you, you just get in the way. If you don't allow God to use you, you just get in his way, and he'll just move you out of the way until he finds somebody else to do the job. You understand? All right. Let's stand up. I want to bless you. I'm not going to tickle your ears, you know. And some people get offended with me, step on their toes, whatever. They think I'm talking about them all the time. And I'll never tickle your ears. I'm never going to, you know, I'm going to call it like it is. And I'm speaking to myself, too. I'm not perfect, you know. But Isaac, if you'd come and get ready to turn this off, I want to just bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. Vayasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace, in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Shabbat shalom. God loves you. Say, God loves me. God loves you. Yeshua loves you. And believe it or not, I love you too, but he loves you more. Shabbat shalom. And if those who are in leadership, you know, and who actively serve in leadership would come forward and just for a couple minutes, I'd just like to talk with you.